Can't believe that 2013 is almost over. I was always told growing up, but never really believed it, that the older you get, the quicker time seems to pass. But I'm finding that to be true. At the end of the year, it gives opportunity for us to reflect on the past year, but also look forward, Lord willing, to a new year. And I want to encourage us to do that even tonight. Michael Josephson wrote a poem entitled, What Will Matter? And I want to begin with that this evening. Ready or not, someday it will all come to an end. There will be no more sunrises, no minutes, hours, or days. All the things you collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. Your wealth, fame, and temporal power will shrivel to irrelevance. It will not matter what you owned or what you were owed. Your grudges, resentments, frustrations, and jealousies will finally disappear. So too, your hopes, ambitions, plans, and to-do lists will expire. The wins and losses that once seemed so important will fade away. It won't matter where you came from or on what side of the tracks you lived at the end. It won't matter whether you were beautiful or brilliant. Even your gender and skin color will be irrelevant. And this poem closes with these questions. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? Sobering questions, thoughtful questions. And I want to share with you a poem that W.T. Allison shared with me a number of years ago. And I'm going to divide it up into sections as we explore these questions. What will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you bought, but what you built. Because the truth is, what you bought, all material things, will not last. 2 Peter 3 verse 10 tells us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So all material things will be burned up. They'll be dissolved. So what will matter is not our material possessions. Those things will not last. What will last? Let me refer you to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Again, what will matter is not what we bought, but what we built. And the Apostle Paul uses this, he speaks of himself as a master builder that's been building, and he's speaking of the church. And in the context, he speaks of how he and Apollos had worked at Corinth. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And what they're building, of course, is the church. And each stone, living stone, as Peter would call it, is a Christian, an individual Christian. He would later refer to the Christians at Corinth, "Are you not my work in the Lord?" But in this text, he cautions teachers that they must take heed as to how they build. If one's work abides, he says, and that appears to be if those Christian converts stay faithful to the Lord, if they endure to the end, then they will enjoy a satisfying reward. But if that work does not abide, perhaps referring to how Christians might fall away. Nevertheless, those who have strived to teach them will not be jeopardized. Their salvation will not be jeopardized due to those falling away. But he says, take heed how you build. And I find it interesting what he's talking about, again, is building up the church and teaching others about Christ and trying to lead others to heaven. What will matter is not what is bought, but what is built. And we build by influencing others for Christ. Daniel Webster wrote these lines: if we work upon marble, it will perish. If we work upon brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work upon men's immortal minds, if we imbue them with high principles, with the just fear of God and the love of their fellow men, we engrave on those tablets something which no time can efface and which will brighten and brighten to all eternity. Again, what will matter in the end is not what we've bought, but what we've built by seeking to teach others about Christ, to teach them to follow Him. Secondly, what will matter is not what you got, but what you gave. Not what you got, but what you gave. 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I saw a book title recently, How to Become Rich. How to Become Rich. It was a religious bookstore. Then I looked at the cover of the book and saw that it was a reference here to this passage. That's brewing in a sermon that you'll hear very soon. How to Become Rich. We're not talking about material things, but as Paul is writing to Timothy to command those who are rich in material things that they learn to be rich in good works, willing to share, ready to give. What will matter in the end is not what you got, but what you gave. A young boy was taken to a busy shopping center to see Santa. And after waiting in line for what seemed like an eternity, it was finally his turn to sit in Santa's lap. And after the usual ho-ho-hos and what is your name questions, the boy was finally asked what he wanted for Christmas. He said, I would like 2 toy trucks, 2 teddy bears, 2 remote control cars, and 2 video games. Well, replied Santa, that certainly is a tall order to fill. Do you mind telling me, why do you want 2 of everything? The little boy had obviously prepared himself for this question. He said, so I can share. So I can share. That didn't go over very well. But what we're to share are the things that we have been given. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's what we've given that will really matter in the end. Number 3, what will matter is not your success, but your significance. Not your success, but your significance. And your significance and true success will be determined more by your relationships and influence upon people than by your accomplishments. One of my favorite quotes is by George Washington Carver. He says, how far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong. because someday in life you will have been all of these. And his comments are all directed to how we interact, how we respond to people around us. That's what's significant. In fact, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus is saying that what should signify us as God's people is our love for one another, our love for others. That's what's significant. And what will matter is not your success, but your significance in how you have treated other people. Number four, what will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. Not what you learned, but what you taught. Christianity is a taught religion. "No one can come to me," Jesus says, "unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." We're drawn to the Father and brought to Christ through teaching. Where would we be if someone had not taught us about Jesus? You see, the good news of Jesus is not to be meant to be kept to oneself. We're not to go to the grave having received that good news and kept it to ourselves. Because what will matter in the end is not what you learned, though we must learn about Christ and follow him, but we must also share that good news with others. John Maxwell said, "A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way." Let's not keep what we've learned about God and his word to ourselves, but share it with others. Krista McAuliffe once wrote, "I touch the future, I teach." And that could be said of every child of God, because when we teach others about Jesus, we're impacting their futures. Number five, what will matter? What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, courage, or sacrifice that enriched, empowered, or encouraged others to emulate your example. That's what will matter. How you have, by your life, caused others to live for Christ. Paul said, "Follow my example," 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "as I follow the example of Christ." And what will matter is how our example helped others to follow Jesus more closely. Someone has written that the best safeguard for the younger generation is a good example by the older generation. How many of our lives have been impacted for good and for eternity because of the lives of older Christians that have been lived faithfully before us? That's what will matter in the end. You remember Edgar Guest's poem? "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. For the eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Good counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see good put into action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very fine and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live." What will matter is how we lived and how we influenced the lives of others for good and for God. Number six, what will matter is not your competence, but your character. Not your competence, not how much you know, but your character. Horace Greeley had a quote that Harry Truman used to like. Fame is a vapor, popularity an accident, riches take wings. Those who cheer today may curse tomorrow. Only one thing endures: character. Character is much more important than competence. James A. Garfield was the 20th president of the United States. It's my understanding he was a member of the church. But I read this past week that a young man gave him a printed slip. When he was a young man, his friend gave him this printed slip of paper that contained these words, and he kept these words and he cherished them and tried to live true to them. These are the words: make few promises, always speak the truth, never speak evil of anyone, keep good company or none. Drink no intoxicating liquors. Good character is above everything else. Be honest if you would be happy. When you speak to a person, look into his eyes. Spend less than you earn. Live within your income. Never run into debt unless you see your way out. It continued. Good company and good conversation are the essentials of virtue. Good character can be injured only by your own acts. If evil is spoken of you, let your life refute the falsehood. If your hands cannot be employed, attend to the cultivation of your mind. Read the above carefully and thoughtfully. And so I read that Garfield did read this carefully and thoughtfully through the years. He treasured these words. And these words are all about character, the one thing that endures. I think these are character statements in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where Paul writes, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love." I see conviction in those words. Be convicted, stand fast in the faith. Be watchful, but also see that compassion. Let all that you do be done with love. Our character should have conviction and compassion, and it's much more important than our competence. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many people will feel a lasting loss when you're gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories that live in those who loved you. What will matter is how long you will be remembered, by whom, and for what. I read about two preachers who didn't get along very well. One of them had heard the other previously, and he said, "I heard you speak the other night and recognized that sermon. You preached that same sermon 14 years ago." Well, that preacher responded, "Well, I heard you speak just 3 weeks ago, and I can't remember a word you said." A lesson can be drawn from this story. Our lives should be like good sermons, conveying a message that leaves a lasting impression, one that motivates others to godly living. When we've lived our lives, what will people recall about us? I have a number of books in my library. I'm still working on organizing them. But there are a few books I can take you into the office and pull out with relative ease. Two of those books are entitled, How Shall I Be Remembered? How Shall I Be Remembered? These books were compiled by the Fried Hardeman University Associates, and there are a number of folks that wrote in these books. In both of the books, there is a chapter written by my grandmother, Louise Dixon. But the whole premise of these books is asking the question, how shall I be remembered? And they speak to, each of the chapters speaks to some quality, some Bible teaching that needs to be incorporated into our lives so that we'll be remembered by practicing those biblical principles in our everyday lives. How do you want to be remembered? And the idea is, do those things now. Do those things by which you desire to be remembered. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "A good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you when the forget-me-nots are withered. Carve your name on hearts and not on marble." As we sum up this poem, we recognize that living a life that matters doesn't happen by accident. It's not a matter of circumstance. It's a matter of choice. How do we live a life that matters? We have to choose to live a life that matters. We have to choose to focus upon those things that are truly lasting, that are eternal, the things that are taught us by God Himself. And it begins with a choice that Joshua made. As he challenged the people of Israel, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's where it begins. That's where the decisions begin. To live a life that truly matters is to determine, I'm going to serve the Lord. It may be that that's your determination tonight. It may be that this is the first time you've made that decision, and that you're ready now to follow Jesus. You're ready now to put the Lord on in baptism, to become a child of God, to live the rest of your life for Him. If that's your decision, or if you need the prayers of the church tonight, choose to live a life that matters. If that choice begins by making a public declaration tonight, please come right now as we stand and sing.